Take your Bible in God's Word, the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 10, Genesis chapter number 10, and we'll look there tonight. In Genesis chapter number 10, we'll begin our reading and meet someone, and then we'll move to Genesis chapter number 11. As the Lord leads, I'm preaching through characters of the Old Testament, characters of the Bible. And really one of the main next characters we come to, I don't know if you could call him a main character, but he played a pretty significant role, and we'll see how here in just a minute. But his name is Nimrod. How many of you went home today and found where Nimrod was in the Bible? Anybody? There's some of you. That's right. You knew exactly where to turn, didn't you? And I've heard on numerous occasions, I've been talking to folks about this, I've been studying about Nimrod this week, if they've ever been called a Nimrod. And I've heard that used as a slang. Honestly, how many of you have ever been called a Nimrod? Would you raise your hand? Now, this is the real confession. How many of you ever called somebody a Nimrod? I see. Now, we're going to see where your unkind vocabulary has come from. And we're going to meet this man, Nimrod, tonight. If you'll look with me in beginning in verse number 6, we see the Bible says, "And the sons of Ham." Now, who are the sons of Ham? Ham is the son of Noah. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. And of the sons of Ham, we meet here in verse number 6, the sons of Ham were Cush and Mizraim and Phut. How would you like to have that name? Or would you rather say Pehut? Phut and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Raamah, and Sabtichah, and the sons of Rahamah, Sheba, and Dedan. That's a weird family, isn't it? Now, I'm not sure if I said that right, but next time I do it, I'm going to try to do it the same way. The Bible says in verse 8, "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calna in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Kala, and Resen, between Nineveh and Kala. The same is a great city." So who in the world is Nimrod? Well, duh, Nimrod's the son of Cush. And he's got some other cousins there. We're not going to say their names again. But Nimrod, the Bible says, now there was a whole list of these people in this family, and God decides that he'll just mention one very specifically because Nimrod was a man that rose in great power and authority in the land that day. And I want you to know something. That's not necessarily good. To grow in the applause of men is not necessarily good. But I will qualify, it's not always bad. But in Nimrod's case, look what the Bible says about Nimrod. This could be some of our life verses around here, us rednecks that like to deer hunt. Nimrod, he was a mighty one in the earth, verse number 8, verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. It was said of Nimrod that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. But Nimrod, after the flood, God had said to Noah, he said, "Noah," and to the families of Noah, he said, "Here's what you need to do." He says, "I want you to leave the ark." There was one family that got off the ark. He says, "I want you to leave the ark. I want you to multiply and inhabit the earth." But Nimrod, he began to see and think and look around and say, "You know what? I see some opportunity here." And Nimrod, in verse number 11, he founded some cities, the city of Rehoboth. He founded a great city, Nineveh and Kala, in verse number 12. And God's plan, I'm not saying that this is a message against cities. You might want to use that sometime if you hate cities, but it's not a message against cities. But the truth of the matter is, God had commanded the descendants of Noah to be fruitful, multiply, and inhabit the earth. But Nimrod, he got an idea. He got a vision, a wrong vision, but he got a vision of how he could gain power and authority and develop cities. So much so that he led the way to a story we find in chapter number 11. The Bible says in chapter 11 of the book of Genesis, verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime and had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to," God speaking now, "go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." And we see the story of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel is a major event in the Bible times and in the history of civilization. God did an amazing work in Babel. And at Babel, he confounded the language. At this moment in time, everybody spoke one language. And there at Babel, God confounded the languages. Now there's more, nearly 6,000 languages that people speak worldwide. But Babel, who was the man that founded Babel? Who was the man at the helm? Who was controlling the reins, leading the people, and directing the movement of this big city, and then a tower that defied God, a tower that declared men independent of God? Who was that person? That person was Nimrod. If you were to open a Webster's dictionary and look at the definition of the word Nimrod, it gives a brief description of Nimrod, the son of grandson of Ham, as mentioned in the Bible. In some cultures, the word Nimrod is you can use and call someone a Nimrod, and they are considered a great hunter. But one of the definitions of Nimrod in the Webster's dictionary, and quite frankly, I believe to be most accurate these days, if you look at somebody and you say, you're a Nimrod, according to Webster's dictionary, you're calling them an idiot or a jerk. And quite frankly, I'll have you know, if you set out as your goal as a child of God to turn your back on the Word of God and the will of God and the plan of God, and for the sake of fame and fortune and power or anything this world has to offer, you turn your back on God, I'll just let you know something. You are a Nimrod. You're a Nimrod. And his life represents this. There's some things I want to share with you briefly tonight about being a Nimrod. Don't be a Nimrod. Being a Nimrod, number one, begins with a comfortable place. Look what the scripture says in chapter number 11, verse 1. The whole earth was of one language, of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. It began in a comfortable place. God had told them what to do, and God had given them a plan. But they said, you know, I know what God's put in my heart to do, and I know what God has shown me to do, but we know what God's told us to do, and we know the story and how God blessed our family and sealed us up in the ark and rescued us and saved us from judgment. But you know, this plain right here, Nimrod's leadership, this plain right here is nice.
He found a flat spot to build something. We rode to Clintwood the other day. There ain't a flat spot between here and Clintwood, I don't think. I saw some of the places that people build on the sides of these ridges. And I'll just tell you, folks in Clintwood, they'd be happy to find a plane. We drove past this playground, and Dave and I were together, and David said, well, that's the weirdest place I've ever seen for a playground. I mean, it's right up against the road. There's a fence there beside of it. It's right up against the road. And I said, David, it's clear that that's the only flat spot around here to build a playground. So they go to this place, they say, wow, this is a plane. They say, this is comfortable. Now, God's put in their hearts and told them what to do. Be fruitful and multiply and inhabit the earth. But they got to that plane, and man, it's nice. People are getting along, speaking the language. The economy's good. Everything's nice. I got everything I want. I got everything I need. Man, this plane feels real good. I'll just let you know something. Being a Nimrod begins in a comfortable place. Now, it's okay to be comfortable. We should be happy. We should be full of joy, but we should never be satisfied with a life that is not doing the perfect will of God. No matter your profession, you should never be satisfied with a life that is not doing the perfect will of God. Let's not get so comfortable in this world that we live in for just a short time that we neglect our work that God has given us that matters for all of eternity. You see, being a Nimrod begins in a comfortable place. Number two, being a Nimrod continues with permanent preparations. Now look what happens. Now if they'd gone to that plane, set up tents for a while, and sent people out of there to do the will of God, then that's fine. But I want you to see what they're doing. They didn't go there and set up tents. God designed His people, those Jewish people, to be nomadic, and they were to move, They were headed towards the promised land from the very beginning, and they were to be nomadic. But the Bible says, they said one to another, verse number 3, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. What'd they do? They got comfortable in the plain, and then they started to set some permanent foundations. You know, that's easy to get comfortable and then get to a place where your things and your buildings and your houses and your lands and your possessions are more valuable to you than your relationship with God. Now, that's the situation that Nimrod had found himself in, and he was leading multitudes of people in the same direction. He said, let's not just build something that we have to leave in a few days. Let's get the bricks and let's do them thoroughly. Fire them and make it right. Let's get mortar. Let's not just stack these things. Let's get mortar. Let's make it permanent. It's a very clear thing when the Bible calls Christians pilgrims and sojourners. Why is that? Because we're not to set our roots too deep in this world, because we're just passing through. This is not home. Heaven is home. We are sojourners in this land, and we shouldn't make this land the most important thing we have. Now, there's not a thing in the world wrong with enjoying the blessings of God. I'm trying to figure out a place for my family to live. I'm looking at building a house. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with that, unless the house and the land and the possessions become more important than the will and the work and the plan of God. You see, Nimrod, being a Nimrod, continues with a permanent preparation. Number 3, being a Nimrod thrives on personal pride. Now, here's where they messed up. Number 1, they were turning their back on God's plan to be fruitful and multiply and inhabit the earth. But the second thing here, look what they're concerned about, verse number 4. They said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. They wanted to build a city and a tower that was impressive, that proved that they could do things like God could do. And they began to worship other gods. There's lots of evidence with this tower that they were worshiping other gods other than Jehovah God, whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name. What'd they want? Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. What was their concern? Being a Nimrod thrives on personal pride. They said, you know what we need to do? We need to make us a name. We need to make a name for ourselves. We need to set some permanent roots. We need to make a name so that we're recognized and we don't get scattered abroad. I looked online. I was just curious about major corporations who do not exist anymore. I always wanted to be a Toys R Us kid, but you can't be one no more. They had a name, but it doesn't exist anymore. And quite frankly, everything on this earth is wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll just burn away one day. Being a Nimrod thrives on personal pride. They wanted what they couldn't have, and what God had not told them they could have. They wanted a name for themselves. They wanted power. They wanted authority. They said, let's try our best to prevent being scattered. Let's make us a city. Let's disobey God. Let's forget God. And like Psalm 2, the word and the will of God became bondage to these rebel men. Nimrod, by the way, literally, the name Nimrod literally means rebel. They said, let's break the bands of God's rules and God's plans. Let's break them asunder. Being a Nimrod thrives on personal pride. And number four, being a Nimrod concludes with God's judgment. Scripture says in verse number 5, I'd like to have seen this. I don't know how it envisioned itself, but this is what the Bible says. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. It's not always bad unless you're in rebellion to God. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. What's the imagination of men always tend to? Evil. They've imagined to do. The Bible says in verse number 7, God says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Folks, I want you to know something. God's judgment falls on people who disobey. Now, the worst thing about being a Nimrod is that God had designed Nimrod to be a great leader. God had designed Nimrod to be a man of passion and desire. God had instilled and even said of Nimrod, he was a mighty hunter. But the treasure that God, the greatest treasure that God gave Nimrod, Nimrod wasted it. Nimrod wasted it in disobedience to the Lord, and his greatest work got about halfway done. And God said, I can't allow a Nimrod and a Babel. I can't allow that to continue, because it does great harm to the work of God, the will of God, and the people of God. A Nimrod. You see, Nimrod was so foolish. It's fascinating that tonight's the night that Dylan shows us, gives us an update on the celebrities he's met along the way. It saddens me greatly to see people who rise to great prominence, people of great skill and assets and talent and fame and fortune, who become so high in their minds that they accept something like Christian Science, who become so high in their minds that they believe that somehow they have attained to some form of deity themselves. Folks, I want you to know something. To turn your back on the plan of God and to seek after the things of the world, you know what that does? That makes you a real Nimrod. And Nimrod was a rebel. And all the things that he did in this world, all the cities that he built, you know what happened? What happened to Babylon? What happened to Babylon? He founded Babylon. It was his people. that rebelled and conquered and burnt to the ground the city of Jerusalem, the holy city of God. It was Babel, Babylon, that played such a vital role in end-time prophecies. Nimrod had that. But Nimrod's whole future and Nimrod's whole heritage and Nimrod's whole dynasty is one that stands against God. Just think of all the descendants of Nimrod who spent their eternity separated from God in hell because Nimrod said, you know what? I want to build a big city and a big tower, and I don't care what God says. If you have the attitude of a Nimrod, according to the Webster's Dictionary, you're an idiot. The Bible says a fool said in his heart, there is no God. It's a very wise thing to seek after a loving God and put God first in our life. The Scripture says very plainly, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What you really want is what you really need, and it's what you can really have if you'll put your faith and trust in Christ and give Him first place on the throne of your heart. Don't be a Nimrod. Let's pray.